we present Bert's Place. Oh, hi. Come in. Nice to see you again. Sit down. Can I offer you a chocolate? Elle got these for me. Aren't they beautiful? They're handmade locally. Mmm, delicious. Oh, I'm so spoiled. What are you looking all embarrassed about? What? Of course I don't mind talking about Elle. And of course I'll go on with the story. I haven't gone this far to give up halfway. I remember where we got to. Brian had just broken the big news, and I'd had such a shock that I dropped my mug of scalding hot coffee onto the table where it had smashed into smithereens.
You're in love with Elle? And she's... Oh, no, sorry. I'll clear it up.
Leave it. I have to tell you something else. But the thing is, from now on, Elle and I want to see as much of each other as possible, which means that we'll be spending weekends together at the lair.
I see.
Yes, it'll work out very well. We'll travel down on Friday after I finish...
Hold on. Wait a minute. We? Does that mean me too?
Of course it does, you daft lep. Do you seriously think I'd get past a doormat if I didn't bring you with me?
Well, it sounded like that. Oh, gosh. I wish I hadn't dropped that coffee. My head's in such a whirl. I can't think straight.
Look, I know this is a lot to take in, but when you've had time to think about it, you'll see that it's going to be okay, you know? It really is.
Well, I suppose so. I don't know quite what to feel about it at the moment. I don't know whether to jump for joy or just punch your lights out, always supposing I could reach up that high. But Brian, if I can help you take care of Elle from now on, I think in the end that'll be good enough for me.
And, believe it or not, it has been good enough. More than good enough. Better than I could have ever imagined. What? Sorry? No, I absolutely didn't have any inkling of what was in the wind. Not even the slightest. I was so absorbed in my own personal conundrum that I couldn't see what was right under my nose. Well, I would have thought it was obvious. Elle's a human. I'm a lep. The first thing we're taught at Shauna Sharon is... You do your work, you don't ever, ever, and that really means ever, get involved emotionally. If the high-ups even suspected there was any kind of attachment between lep and human, there would be a swirl of green stars and you would be spirited away from your post. No excuses listened to. The only reason my sad little torch had thus far gone undetected was that Elle wasn't my employer. Telepathic monitoring on me would have been a lot more strict if she had been. I had known from the beginning that my cause was completely hopeless. But Elle had always been sweet to me, and I suppose, especially since the accident, I'd started to think of her as my personal special property. She was always there with a friendly word, a hug, a present and a comforting lap to sit on if I'd had a bad day. Now I'd have to learn to share, and the learning curve was very steep at times. I remember one of our early visits to the lair, as we always call Elle's place. Elle and Brian had done their level best to make it a nice weekend for me. Hinkie had gone back to the States by this time, so I had the closet and it was marvellously comfortable. Every effort had been made so that I wouldn't feel left out. But by the Saturday evening, I was feeling so much like a gooseberry, I was surprised I hadn't gone all green and hairy. I had been going to join Brian and Elle in the den after dinner to hear a favourite programme with them. But I couldn't face it. I sloped off to my closet, hoping I would be left alone. I was out of luck. Come in.
Oh, hi, Bert. There you are.
I'm busy.
Is everything all right, sweetheart?
Oh, fine, fine. Why wouldn't it be?
Come on, Bert. Don't you think I know by now when you're upset about something? This isn't like you at all.
Oh, right. If you really want to know, I was just writing to that new internet radio station to see if they had any spare show slots going.
What?
And I was writing to Shauna Sharon to see if they had any jobs. Right. Satisfied?
You're not serious.
I am.
But I'm not taking this in. You really want a job on another station? And you want to leave us?
Oh, Elle, don't look like that. You know I'd absolutely hate it, but I do think it may be for the best.
Best thing, my foot. Now, Come on, stop trying to strangle me and tell me what's the matter.
Well, it's only when you're both here on weekends or Brian's on holiday from work, don't I get in the way? And if Brian's got you to help when you do shows together now, are you going to need me anymore? I'm just going to be a spare part. You'll never have time to let me sit on your lap again.
Oh, Bert, I've never heard anything so daft in all my life. Of course you don't get in the way. Now think for a minute. If you got in the way, wouldn't B have left you at home this week? He could have quite easily, but he didn't. We both love having you around, apart from the fact that you look after us so beautifully.
You like having me around, Elle?
Oh, you should know that by now. I always have. We couldn't get along without you.
I was somewhat reassured by that little pep talk, and, though I still had my moments of feeling green, they became rarer. If you think about it, it really was a terribly awkward situation for all three of us to be in. And it says a lot for the great regard we had and have for each other that we all handled it as well as we did. So life got easier, but no less chaotic. Every weekend, when Brian finished work, we would dash from Merseyside to Wales to spend the weekend at the Lair. Then, each Monday morning, at the crack of dawn, we would head back up north for another week's work. I found these weekdays incredibly boring. I had more time than usual on my hands and had nothing to do but mope around the house, redoing already done chores and trying not to call Elle, a thing I was not allowed to do in those days. Of course, there were always the welcome times when she called me, either to find out if I was okay or because there was some kind of crisis. Oh, I love those times. I really got to show off. Like, there was this one day, there was a fly. No, a blue bottle. Hi, Elle. Is everything okay?
Bert.
Yes?
There's a buzzing insect in here.
Oh, right.
I don't know whether it's a bee or a wasp or what, but it sounds quite big.
Oh.
The thing is, I know I've got some spray somewhere, but you've moved all the stuff around in the cupboard where my cleaning things are.
Ah.
And I can't find it. And every time I open the door to try and look for it, that thing is attracted by the smells and it comes buzzing around my ears. Listen, do you happen to know where you might have put the spray?
Okay, Elle, calm down. I haven't seen any spray, but I can think of something better to get rid of the buzzer.
Ah!
Hi, Elle. Careful, don't drop Glinda.
Oh, you made me jump.
Sorry, yes, that does tend to happen. Now, where is it? Oh, I can see it. Oh, it's only a blue bottle. It's quite big, though. Ugh.
Bert! Oh, don't let it come near me!
It's okay, I'll get rid of him. There, got him. I'll just pop him outside. He can fly about all he wants now, outside the lair.
Oh, sweetie, thank you so much.
Anytime.
I'm so relieved.
So I can see.
But how come you're here?
Well, Brian said I could come here if you ever needed me, but I'd better go back now.
Oh, no. Well, I suppose if you have to.
Hi, Elle. What's up?
Oh, Bert, I really need you to come here straight away and help me.
You do?
I've cooked far too much dinner for one person to eat, and I really need you to come and help me eat it. Now, no one can argue with that. After all, I really need you, you know.
Oh, Elle, you're awful. Oh, I remember that dinner. Steaks with pepper sauce, dauphinoise potatoes, lovely crisp salad. I'd been boasting to Elle about the fact that I could make a lemon souffle that rose as high as a skyscraper. Elle had all the ingredients laid out, and we made it together. It rose like a dream. I was so pleased, especially as I'd never used Elle's oven. So, life was hectic and happy. To fill up the hours of spare time I had, I started to write a journal. I wrote about our daily doings, my family in the East End of London who still lived in the colony where I grew up. I introduced my idiot brother Tomo, always in fights, my favourite sister Amarella, Mella as we always called her, my wonderful parents, and many other leps I've grown up with. Suddenly there was a problem. My sister Tulia had given birth to a baby girl on the dawn of St. Patrick's Day. We Leps only have one celebration in the whole year, the Feast of St. Patrick, and little Patty Ann had to go and choose that morning to be born, of all the inconvenience and bad luck. Oh yes, it was good luck for her, you're right, but it was lent bad luck for me.
Well, because my mother decided that there was going to be a grand and glorious naming ceremony to which every single member of the family would be invited. Yes, including me. No, I did not want to go. No, they're not that bad. They're not bad at all. They're... Oh, we'll get to this part in time, but let's just say for the moment that when this whole naming ceremony business came up, I hadn't seen or been near the family for 20 years, maybe a bit more. Yes, I certainly had my reasons, but dislike had nothing to do with it. Rather the opposite. I dug my heels in and refused every plea, invitation or order concerning the naming ceremony until Easter Day. Then I got a beautiful new backpack among my Easter eggs and a note from Elle. She said that I obviously wasn't going to the ceremony because the idea scared me, and that if I kept running away from my fears, I'd be running all my life. It was far better to turn and face them. So, a week later, I was in my closet, playing a game on my phone, and trying not to think about the last-minute packing which had to be done before I left, early the next morning. I was feeling like complete rubbish, scared silly and desolate at the thought of being away from my humans. I could have had no idea that worse, much worse, was to come.
Player one, you're up. Please, sir.
Bother!
Point. Opponent one. Player one, you're up. Please, sir.
It's no good, I can't concentrate
Point.
On this.
Opponent one.
Oh, come in, don't
Player
knock the
one.
Door down.
You're up.
Oh, hi, Elle. Sorry.
Hi. I got your clothes out of the dryer and folded them for you. I'll put them here on the bottom of your bed by the backpack. Is that okay?
Yes, fine, thanks. Elle, you didn't have to do that. It's really nice of you.
Aw, it's nothing. Are you about finished packing?
Yes, I just have to put these last few things in and I'm all ready to go.
It's probably going to be a busy week for you, what with not having been home for 20 years. You have lots of people to see and things to catch up with. And then there's your niece's special naming ceremony that the whole family's going to be at coming up. So you must be feeling a little bit excited now, aren't you?
Elle, if you want me to tell you the truth, I'm feeling so awful at the moment at the thought of going away. I don't know how I'm going to stand it.
Oh, sweetheart, come here. If it makes you feel any better, I'm feeling just as awful. But I'll miss you.
Oh no, Elle, let me go quick.
What? But what was that?
That was a green star. Just one. One's enough. Oh gosh, Elle, I'm shaking.
A green star? What does that mean?
It basically means, mind what you're doing. We're watching you. You better get out of here, Elle, before we make things worse.
Okay, sweetie, but just one thing. I know it's hard, but you'll be back here in a week. It's going to be fine.
Elle, you better be prepared. If they think I've violated the code, they may not let me come back.
No!
Go on, Elle. You have to go. I'll be gone before you wake up. And Elle...
I know. Bye, sweetie.
Bye, Elle. I'll miss you too. Just... Oh, go away! I get the message.
You've been listening to Bert's Place, featuring Brian Hartchen as Bert. The music was composed by Andre Louis. Bert's Place is written by Lulu Keel and produced by Brian Hartchen. For background material, archives, and original artwork, please visit www.bertsplace.co.uk.